Hi, and welcome to another uplifting episode of Echo This, for an hour of empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. Health is wealth, prioritizing your most valuable asset. So let me ask you, do you think of your health as an asset? Something as valuable as any of your other assets in life? How do you safeguard it, and when should you start? You might be thinking, here we go again. Another conversation about diet and exercise. Don't get me wrong, they're essential tools for managing our well-being. But today, let's focus on what really means to protect and prioritize your health. I'm excited to introduce my inspiring colleagues who have been through their own health challenges and have come out stronger. Despite these challenges, they've taken control of their health and are thriving today. So, Amy, I will start with you.
I'm Amy Weishouse, and I am a lifelong educator and learner. My platform is that to lead a really healthy life and a full life, we all have the wonderful power, the ability, and the mission for each one of us to create endless joy.
Lisa?
And I'm Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity.
I'm Debbie Wimberly, a passionate advocate for quality health and empowerment. As a medical cannabis educator, consultant, speaker, and author, my focus is on guiding individuals toward optimal health through education and advocacy. By demystifying the benefits of the endocannabinoid system, medical cannabis, and empowering individuals to take proactive steps in their health quest. By the end of this episode, we hope you will feel inspired to make proactive changes, advocate for yourself, and recognize the immense value of your health. So let's get started, and welcome to Echo This. The link between health and economics shows how our well-being affects productivity and the overall quality of our life. Seeing health as both a personal asset and a smart investment pushes us to take proactive steps to protect and enhance our well-being. Treating your health like a prized possession involves planning and staying alert, much like sailing through the seas of uncharted waters. Just as a captain carefully navigates their ship through changing conditions, we too must navigate our health journey with foresight and resilience. Every decision and proactive move we make becomes crucial in steering our health through life's ups and downs. Each of our shows is divided into 5 segments, and our first segment is Echoing the Hope. And I hope everyone listening will take a moment to explore this question for themselves. Do you value your health as an asset? And where does it rank in your list of assets? Amy, we'll start with you.
Well, first of all, hands down, my health is my number one asset. There's no doubt about it, because I wake up every morning feeling so blessed that I take inventory of my 5 senses. And if I have that going for me, in addition to overcoming past medical issues, I feel like I'm on top of the world. So Debbie, my health is my number one asset. Now, but learning that, experiencing that certainty, that knowledge really came with a shocker when I was diagnosed at age 19 with Crohn's disease. This is a autoimmune disease, which is characterized by constant flaring up of the intestines. It involves cramping, fever, constantly going to the bathroom, and it's really a very big challenge. I was struck with that at 19 in college, and I think the realization then, when you don't have health, how important it is staggering. And my number one real disability, looking backward, was I did not have benefit of the internet. Medical knowledge, medical data, even a really good definition of what it was, the prognosis, the future, the options for treatment, none of that was at my fingertips. So I was really relying on whatever doctors and people I came in contact with You have to go to a gastroenterologist specialist. No regular doctor is an expert in intestinal issues. You have to go to a specialist. I learned much later, you have to ask the specialist, well, what percentage of your patients have Crohn's disease and serious Crohn's? Because they may not have the experience with their cases, even though they have the shingle outside their door. So my trying to make health my number one asset was really blocked by a lack of communication, a lack of resources, and a feeling of shame and isolation. I knew nobody with the disease. I didn't want to talk about my bowel habits to people, a 19-year-old co-ed. I mean, I was stuck. And one experience with a doctor, literally, he said to me, why don't you stop being the doctor and be the patient? I was asking too many questions. Well, that really shut me down. So health is my number one asset. And I, since age 19, have known that and have had to manage it, cope with it, and really strive to educate myself, because it's all up to me. It wasn't up to my parents. It wasn't up to anybody but me.
I think it's interesting that you talk about the real disability about not having access to information here. We talk about disability a lot of times when we're talking about our health, but you're actually talking about it as a disability of not having access to information. I really find that very interesting, and I think it's really a true statement. So thank you. Lisa?
Well, absolutely. For me, I value my health as an asset, and it ranks right at the top of my list. Think of it as the ultimate golden ticket. Without good health, all the other assets can't be fully enjoyed, right? It's like having the fanciest car in the world, but no fuel to drive it. You don't go anywhere. Your health fuels everything else. So it's priority number one. And if I were to rank my assets like a game of Monopoly, my health would be Boardwalk and Park Place combined. It's the powerhouse that boosts my creativity, my energy, and my zest for life. And when you treat your health like the VIP that it is, it pays you back in spades, unlocking all the fun, adventure, and productivity life has to offer. I want to encourage everyone to take care of it like it's their most prized property on your Monopoly board.
Thank you, Lisa. I love that it's your VIP and your most prized value on the Monopoly board. I think that's great. I love how you bring that in. And just thinking about Monopoly and how everything has a value, and that you're ranking yourself up there is, with your health as the most VIP. For me, absolutely, health is my number one asset. I lost my job due to my health, and not having quality health made it impossible for me to work for over three decades. And it wasn't until I learned and met my endocannabinoid system that all that changed. But it took me taking the time and the effort to understand and learn about it, because the medical community doesn't know anything about the endocannabinoid system, and they left me pretty much for dead, saying that there was nothing more that they could do for me. And so I had to find other options. Not to say that my health wasn't my number one asset prior to learning about my endocannabinoid system, but I was putting too much of my faith into someone else to guide it and take care of it. So now it is definitely and will always be ranked number one, and I will never put it in the hands of someone else. I think that understanding that you have the power to be more in charge of your health is the most important thing you can do. Because without your health, without good health, I promise you, you do not live your best quality of life. And so being able to reverse that and change that becomes really important. So our next segment is echoing the opportunity. And let's delve a little deeper into the realm of health as an asset and embrace the spirit of pioneering curiosity. like explorers seizing every chance to uncover new frontiers and breakthroughs, we too can seize opportunities in our health journeys and to foster transformative changes. So my next question is what role did taking calculated risks play in your health journey, and how did they lead to positive outcomes? Amy, I'll start with you.
I wish I had had a mentality back then to even think about risks and options, because nothing was calculated, because I was really in a labyrinth of confusion. And really, my daily struggle was getting through the day, getting to my classes, getting my grades, getting enough sleep, and everything compounded. Did I know that there was a risk in what I was eating? I didn't, because almost everything disagreed with me, and I had issues with almost everything I ate. So it wasn't until much, much later, when I had a knowledgeable community, that I was made aware of food choices and sensitivities, and not to eat nuts and not to eat spices, and trial and error. It was almost, I was eating almost nothing. So then you get a lecture from a reputable doctor, and you find out, well, let's say you're having a hamburger, French fries, and you're having ketchup on it. So what are you allergic to? Is it the oil on the fries? Is it the vinegar in the ketchup? Is it the particular meat you're eating? So everything was so complicated, I couldn't find answers. So there was risk in the medicine I was taking. Did I know that that was supposed to help me? Was that a calculated risk? I didn't know that acicol creates, because of photosensitivity, big blotches of skin freckles all over my face that took years to go away. I would go out in the sun wanting to look healthy and a little tan and not emaciated and pale. And I wound up with these blotches all over from the sulfur drug. So calculated risks were almost non-calculated, but they were present everywhere. And I didn't have the support system. If I had better knowledge of a mature adult or a college support system at the time, I wished now, I would have wished that my parents were in communication with the doctor at the college, and that they, who knows, might have paired me with one other student of thousands in the university network who had the same struggle I did. And I guarantee it wouldn't have been a risk. Well, maybe it would have, because maybe I would have wound up counseling and caring for that person. So, but I think the partnership and the communication between my parents, the college, and at least one other peer who was struggling in the trenches, I think it would have made a remarkable difference. So I'm not faulting anyone here, but I'm saying that unless there's communication and unless people are meeting you where you are and finding out what your health needs are, the risks are just compounded tremendously. That's really my horrible experience.
I think that meeting people where they are in their health is really important, because we all have different journeys, and a lot of people are very healthy. And so we don't always see in life that when people are healthy, they really stop and take into account how important their health is until it isn't good anymore. So I appreciate you sharing that, Lisa.
Yeah, definitely. I would say taking calculated risks has been a game changer in my health journey. And if you kind of picture it like playing a daring round of Jenga, you carefully choose which blocks to pull, knowing that a little risk can lead to a more stable and exciting structure. But in my case, taking calculated risks meant stepping out of my comfort zone to try new treatments, therapies, and lifestyle changes. So I'll give you an example. When I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, I chose to explore unconventional treatments alongside traditional ones. And it was a bit like mixing and matching pieces in a Lego set, but I was aiming for the ultimate masterpiece. And what happened for me is these risks actually paid off, but in huge ways. They not only helped me heal, but also taught me resilience, adaptability, and the importance of listening to my body. And the positive outcomes were beyond just physical health. They boosted my mental strength, creativity, and overall zest for life. And by embracing these risks, I unlocked new levels of well-being, and I opened doors to opportunities I never imagined. And I would encourage everyone to take those calculated risks. They might just be the key to help to building a healthier, happier you.
I love that, pulling blocks out of the Jenga block. And I can envision you pulling that block out and looking through to see what you can see and what you can discover for yourself. I love that. Thank you. For me, every decision I've made with my health, pretty much all my life, I would say has been a calculated risk. Being medically trained as a medical technologist, I was driven by the fact that you need to follow this certain protocol in medical training to take care of your health. And so I did do that for years. I did follow that. And that was a risk because I found myself sitting on a curb when my doctors decided they would no longer help me with my chronic pain for chronic regional pain syndrome during the opioid crisis. But within that, I took another risk and I went and turned my knowledge around to understanding what other alternative treatments were out there and what I could do. And I met my endocannabinoid system, something that we're all born with, and started to engage with it. And with that engagement, it's started to change my health tremendously. Now you need to understand, when I started that journey, I was in a wheelchair, unable to walk because I had a ruptured tendon, was on oxygen 24 hours a day, and I had a full in-home health care provider that was taking care of me because I could not do that. So I made one positive change to understand and learn about the endocannabinoid system and how medical cannabis might play a role. Did I ever expect to be where I am now and know that I would have the life I have now? Absolutely not. And it's a wonderful thing to have. But it's just taking that moment to trust and explore other opportunities that can really make a difference in your health. Even when you're healthy, it's really important that you educate yourself on the different options of treatments that are out there. Not saying that doctors aren't important, they are. We still need them, but there are lots of things that you can do for yourself. And that's putting your health at the top of your asset list and making sure that you're in charge of it and asking other people to partner with you as you're working to do this. So now we're going to head into our third segment, which is the fun one called Echo the Laughter. Is it possible to find recovery amidst the challenges of health? Is there a lighter side that can brighten the pain? Picture yourself as a traveler exploring the diverse landscape. Bleh. Discover. Picture yourself as a traveler exploring the diverse landscape of well-being and where each experience echoes your understanding of your health and its valuable asset. So I ask anyone, oh, so I'm going to ask, are you the intrepid explorer? Bleh. So I'm going to ask, are you the intrepid explorer? I'm going to ask, are you the intrepid explorer discovering humor in the unexpected places and navigating through tasks with a smile? Or perhaps you're the steadfast observer, finding joy in routine and moments and fostering resilience through laughter. Does this play a role in protecting health as your asset? Amy, I'll start with you.
I'm laughing already because the journey is so absurd. It's absolutely absurd. I hope I don't offend anyone or give you too much information in this, but I can't not be graphic a little bit because otherwise you're not going to understand being in my shoes. So at first I recall alone, a young, maybe I was 20 or 21 at this point, and I'm sitting in a gastroenterologist's waiting room. I'm by myself, but all these other people are there for appointments, and everybody is discussing what their stool looks like. And I am just sitting there like, no, I'm not going to be part of this conversation as I'm hearing about spaghetti and meatballs and all kinds of things. And I'm saying, no, this is no, I don't want to be here. Well, years later, I go to a support. Well, I didn't even get to a support group yet. I meet my first person that I knew had the disease. It's incredible to even think, but we were 55 at that point. And I met my first adult who could joke with me about this, actually joke with me about what it was like and about our foibles and follies about eating. We met at a restaurant. I watched with great interest what she ordered, what she ate, what she could tolerate. It was amazing. And we talked about funny circumstances we had had, which at the time were mortifying, but now we could laugh about them and they were funny. And so I've been an observer, and then I've been the steadfast observer, and then I've been the explorer too, because I finally joined a support group and I found the greatest humor there. When you have an ostomy surgery, you have a pouch that you void in, whether it's for the urostomy or the colostomy or the ileostomy, so whether it's liquid or solid. There's all different kinds of ostomies, I learned. And then someone said, well, what appliance do you use? And I'm looking at them like, what do you mean by appliance? I don't have a refrigerator attached to my belly. You know, and first you get involved with the humor of the language people use and all different kinds of things that are so surreal, but they're funny. And then you start thinking, this is my lifeline. This is the reason why I'm alive. This is the reason why I'm functioning. This is the reason why I'm thriving. And if this is what it takes, well, I'm going to laugh my way all the way to my next checkup. So I found that people were open. They exchanged hacks about what to use, how to get rid of odor, what to do as far as traveling and preparedness. And it became a whole new adventure of knowledge. You know, I'm thinking now, do I have supplies ready for the hurricane season? Am I ready to go to the hospital? And am I prepared? So everything becomes just a really organic part of living, just like breathing. It's so important. So I would say we must empower ourselves through conversations with other people. Even finding out, and this was so critical, I could not find this in a book anywhere if I searched forever. I was told, if you have a skin irritation, take some Mallox and put it on your palm of your hand, and in the shower, put it on your skin, and the inflammation will go down. And I thought, what? Mallox, it soothes the internal intestine when you ingest it, so why wouldn't it soothe a skin irritation? Boy, did that make sense. And believe it or not, that little hack from my friend Lynn, I kept it in mind. I needed it one day. It worked like a charm. I always have a bottle of some kind of Mallox in place. You know, I prefer the Equate from Walmart. It's the exact same thing, and it's like much more affordable. And I've told that hack to so many people. So we could observe, we could explore, and then we can advocate and converse and help other people. And laughter is so much a part of it. It's the difference between life and death. Laughter, really.
Thank you for that, Amy. I appreciate that. And I love that you took us on this wild journey of talking about our bowel movements. And that's something that we should talk about sometimes, because it's something that we all do. So, you know, I always find it interesting that people become uncomfortable talking about this. And if I were to ask someone that I'm working with about this, they get a little hesitant to talk about it. But you have to live with it on a regular basis because it became part of your life in a way that most people don't experience. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Yes, go ahead, Angie.
I just want to add one thing. And this always, for some reason, it gave me comfort. I used to think we welcome these precious little lives, little babies into our lives, and they pee all over us and they poop all over us. And we deal with such, all the time. And we love these kids so much. And I just thought, well, I'm much more independent, but why can't we have why can't, it's more the people, it's the self-image, and it's the observance of how we see ourselves. And I meant to say, we're told, and this has to be a big aha moment for a lot of people, I am not my ostomy. Just like someone has to say, I am not my breast cancer. I am not my phlebitis. I am not my psoriasis. I am me. I am going to live the best life possible. And by observing and talking to other people, I am not a label of a disorder, a disability, or a disease. And that's where we have to start. We have to observe how many people limit themselves with a diagnosis and a label. And that's where we have our first biggest sabotaging for good health as our number one asset. It's in the head.
Thank you for adding that on. I appreciate that. Lisa?
Well, I won't be talking about my bowel exploring today for today's, but I will say that I am the intrepid explorer. I'm always on the lookout for humor in the most unexpected places. And if it happens to go into potty humor, then that's okay too, Amy. I'm right there with you. But picture me with a comedy compass, navigating through life setbacks with a smile and a laugh. Humor is like my secret map. It guides me through tough times and helps me uncover hidden treasures of joy and resilience. But I also have a bit of the steadfast observer in me, because I do find immense joy in those routine moments, like taking a leisurely walk in the park and noticing how the squirrels playfully chase each other, or finding shapes in the clouds on a sunny day. That's one of my favorite things to do. And these small bursts of joy are like little health potions, because they really boost my well-being and help me stay grounded. But I do think that humor plays a huge role in protecting health as an asset, because it's like a magic shield, if you will, and it wards off stress and negativity. And when you can laugh at yourself, at your situation, or even at a bad day, you're not just lightening your mood. You're strengthening your immune system. You're lowering stress hormones and releasing those wonderful endorphins. It's really like having a fun daily workout for your mind and body, but you don't even break a sweat. So Debbie, to say, whether I'm exploring the comedic wilderness or enjoying the everyday giggles, humor keeps my health in top-notch shape. It's the ultimate tool in my health arsenal, ensuring I stay happy, resilient, and ready for any adventure life throws my way. Thank you for asking that question.
I love that, Lisa, and I always look to you when I'm looking for humor a lot of times, because you always seem to be able to bring it home. And I appreciate that, because humor does play an important role in our health. And for me, I'm a lot like Alice in Wonderland. If you haven't heard that before, you may get tired of hearing it, but I am a lot like Alice in Wonderland, and I am the explorer. But I also want to go down those paths, and I want to, I say, eat me, drink me. I want to explore everything that's there. I want to open those doors. I want to chase the rabbit. But I also need to be that observer, because you need to be able to sit with yourself. You need to be able to understand how your body speaks to you, what it's saying to you, and listen to it. Sometimes it whispers and sometimes it shouts, but I promise we need to be paying attention to it, because that's what's going to help us. But bringing humor into this is where our exploration is really fun. And one of the things that has helped me improve my humor through all of this is by engaging my endocannabinoid system with cannabis. It is releasing those endorphins that Lisa's talking about. And it is providing me with that space to do that again. Because when I have a dysregulated endocannabinoid system, that is not working for me as well as it does for other people. And so it's really important that I've learned how to engage with that and to allow myself to find that laughter again. Because when you're living in serious health conditions, a lot of times, it's really hard to find that laughter. But finding that laughter is the one thing that I will say, laughter is the best medicine. And it actually can help you break through a day that seems so difficult and hard. And just learning to live in this moment and enjoying that moment is really important. So take a moment today and become your own little explorer, and open up new doors and try new things, and then sit with yourself and evaluate how they felt and how you should explore and how you should move forward with those things that you explored today. Okay, now we're going to move into our fourth question. As we navigate the intricate landscape of health and well-being, we often find ourselves in uncharted terrain. often questioning what lies beyond the unfamiliar boundaries and understanding the medical knowledge that we need. How does curiosity drive your push towards these boundaries, exploring new frontiers, and understanding the possibility to grasp the true value of your health as an invaluable asset? This curiosity leads us to echoing the enigma, a journey unraveling the mysteries of the challenges that define our perception and strategies toward health. So, Amy, can you share an example of a time when exploring uncharted territories or alternative perspectives and treatments helped you gain clarity about your health and provided you with insight into the value of your health as an asset?
Definitely, Debbie. And this is really a great question, and it helped me put a lot of things in perspective. It also helped me to realize just how very much I learned as a result of being seriously ill. And I learned so much along the way to help me as far as developing good knowledge and practices that could support me with general wellness. So I want to just have a disclaimer here for anyone listening who's not very familiar with inflammatory bowel disease. Not all ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease ends in surgery. Very often there's surgery and the surgery is reversed back to normal. Often a section of the colon is removed, resectioned, and everything goes on, heals, and it is fine. So no matter what the treatment, the outcome is fine. It's just different roads. But when you are fatigued and you're compromised so drastically in your health, as I was, I sought so many options and uncharted means to feel better in general. So I went and experienced acupuncture. And I learned how so many people go to acupuncture for wellness. I went to acupuncture to calm my body to prepare for surgery. That was an interesting use that I found for why people use acupuncture. So there were so many benefits of that. I experienced chiropractic. I took a couple yoga classes, very good for all kinds of imbalances and stresses in the body. I learned more about diet. I learned more about the joy of being with people and laughing, socializing, comparing our notes, our highs, our lows. Those were all very, very, very valuable experiences. So when we develop our own protocols and coping mechanisms, it is so important because we are even breathing exercises, learning about our breath. I once remember going to a breath class and I was getting a little hyper and a little nervous because I didn't think I was breathing right or breathing properly. But the awareness just of our breath alone and how it is such an important part of our bodies that we overlook, that was totally uncharted. I still don't think I'm a good breather, but I consciously have to think about it sometimes. So I breathe at the most benefit and the most soothing assistance of my lungs that I can learn about. So every single part of our bodies, I think I learned a little bit more about because I was having a bum situation with my intestines. So we have to remember, don't just focus on the part where there's weakness. Use that weakness to explore on how to strengthen the totality of our bodies. And the enigma is that that weakness is going to make us stronger, as Lisa says, stronger. It's going to boost our immune system. And we, in a very uncanny way, we're going to be healthier in so many ways. And our number one asset is our health, and that's what our goal is. And maybe that terrible detour and awful experience and embarrassment or, you know, experience that we wouldn't want worse, you know, I used to think I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, and I hope I don't have any enemies, but it becomes something that we really learn to treasure as part of our lives. That was very important.
I like strengthen with weakness. I think that's really nice that you can think about it that way, because I don't see necessarily them as weakness a lot of times. I just see them as not being educated or not having enough information. So, but I really like that saying, strengthen with weakness. Lisa, how about you?
Yeah, for me, one time that really stands out is when I decided to explore the alternative treatments I was talking to about earlier, alongside conventional medicine. And that was during my recovery from a brain tumor, because it almost felt like I was setting off on an Indiana Jones adventure, but instead of ancient artifacts, I was hunting for health hacks instead. So I ventured into acupuncture. I know Amy was just talking about that a little bit. And I also did meditation. So talk about uncharted territory for me. So imagine me, this pincushion for a porcupine, trying to stay zen while looking like a human hedgehog. But to my surprise, the acupuncture zapped away my pain and stress like some kind of mystical magic trick. And the meditation, I know you're wondering about, well, let's just say I learned how to find my inner calm amidst the chaos. It was like discovering a hidden treasure chest of tranquility. And what this wild ride through alternative treatments gave me was really a whole new perspective on my health. It was like switching from a black and white TV to a full-on technicolor. I realized that good health isn't just about dodging sickness. It's about embracing a holistic state of well-being. And this adventure into the unknown made me see my health as the ultimate golden asset. It's more valuable than any treasure Indiana Jones could find. And yes, sometimes it pays to step off the beaten path and try something a little kooky, I thought, but you might just find the jackpot of wellness. And that's what happened.
Oh, you unpacked a lot there. Health facts, I love that. And treasure chest, of course. And you found your golden asset. So you put that all into a neat little package, and it's pretty cool. For me, this is really an interesting question, because I did go down exploring some very uncharted territories when I developed chronic regional pain syndrome and lived in a chronic pain of 10, and it wouldn't stop. And so I, of course, turned to the medical profession, which anyone should when they're in that situation, and explored what other alternatives there were. I signed my life away to do a lot of experimental treatments. And what I learned through that is they don't all work. And some of them leave you with some serious side effects that you have to live with and deal with, and that I deal with still today. And that was back around 1995. So just because you explore uncharted territories and you engage with them doesn't necessarily mean they're always the right thing. But you can always educate yourself and make sure you're making the best decisions for yourself. Would I change anything that I did? Probably not. Because I wanted help. I needed resources. There was nothing else available except these experimental treatments. And so getting lumbar spinal blocks across my back, laying on a table with a needle going in, and I can't be put to sleep, can't be numbed, and I have to guide it to where they want to in my spine, believe me, is not fun. But I would choose that again if that was the only option that I had. But through all of this exploration that I've done, I've learned that there are other alternative methods as well, and have put them into play and have been able to improve my life. So I guess the caveat I have here is that it's always good to explore alternative methods and to weigh the benefits and the unwanted things that can occur when you don't have all the facts. And you can ask a million questions, and some people just can't answer what it's going to do for you, because everybody's body is different. There's lots of people that did these injections and did well. They did not work for me. So it's just making sure you're making informed decisions. So when you leave today, I hope that you at least think about what are other alternatives that you have that you can explore, and that you can at least allow yourself to think that sometimes it's worth taking a risk and sometimes it's not. And it's okay, because it's your health, it's your decision, and you get to make it. So as we wrap up our journey into health and wellness, as an asset. Let's ponder, what does it mean to live your absolute best life? How do you make your health your top priority and ensuring it's flourishing and your dreams are success? This brings us to echo the transformation. So how do each of you define living your best life? And what steps are you taking to ensure you continue to put your health as your number one asset? And what is one thing our listeners could start incorporating today? Amy, we'll start with you.
Well, here we've spoken a lot about our bodies at their weakest or at their optimal functioning. And we've indicated often what our thought process is, what our perspective is. And I find that my asset of my health rests solely on the degree of gratitude that I find every day in my life. Gratitude equals health. There's an expression that says, what one appreciates, appreciates. And I believe that what we value, acknowledge, and when we talk to other people and recognize and share with them, communicate with them, the importance that they have in our lives, the impact and value of what they do in our lives, how that helps us function in a healthy way. Our mental health is so much better. We're lessening the chances of depression and attitudes or isolation that keep us only focused on what's the disorder or what is not right rather than what on is right. So by flexing that muscle of gratitude, it can be done every morning, it can be done every night, it could be and should be done at both times. So we wake up in peace and joy and anticipation of another day full of good things that we're going to create, that we say to our children when they come home, what was the best part of your day? You know, get them to train that muscle and to think in terms of best. What was the best? They're going to look for the best because you're going to be asking them every day. And, you know, it's not always recess. That's the best part of the day because you're mentoring for them or you're expecting them to find good and best and be grateful in every day. And then at night, it's a beautiful, peaceful way to retire and to feel that the day was even with its challenges, it was filled with lessons to learn and with more things to be grateful for. So that's where I'm coming from. And I'm grateful that we have a platform like this to have listeners question and ponder and take away a thought or two, a soundbite about what they're grateful for today. It's just sunshine. It's liquid sunshine.
Liquid sunshine and what one appreciates. I think that we don't think about that enough in general in society or talk about it enough. I don't know if we think about it enough, but I don't think we think that we talk about it enough. Appreciation for what we have. We seem to live in a society that's always wanting more. And so just embracing what you have sometimes is really important. Lisa.
To me, living my best life really means embracing joy, adventure, and a whole lot of laughter every single day. It's about turning even the mundane moments into mini celebrations. And an example of that would be like dancing in my kitchen while making breakfast or having impromptu karaoke sessions in my shower. It's really about feeling vibrant, energetic, and ready to tackle anything that comes my way. But to really keep my health as my number one asset, I take a few key steps. The first thing I do is I make sure to move my body daily. That's so important. Whether it's a lively hula hooping session, a bike ride through the park, or a spontaneous living room dance off. I also prioritize eating foods that make me feel good, getting enough sleep and practicing mindfulness to keep my stress levels in check. And of course, I always make room for a good laugh because laughter is truly the best medicine. And for our listeners, one simple thing you can start incorporating today is a daily dose of laughter. So find something that makes you laugh, a funny video, a joke, or even just reminiscing about a hilarious moment from your past. Because laughter has amazing health benefits, like boosting your immune system and reducing stress. So why not give it a try, right? So make it a habit to find humor in your day, and you'll be well on your way to living your best life with health as your top priority. Yay.
So I love that, Lisa. Yeah, that's great. And so I'm going to ask you, for those people that find it hard to find laughter, how would you recommend that they go about finding some laughter today? Where can they find it?
I think the first thing to do is just become more aware, because awareness is really your first thing, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere you go. There's something that you can laugh about. Like earlier, Amy was talking about her poop, I guess, for lack of a better word. And then Debbie followed it up with talking about Alice in Wonderland. And then in my mind, I combined the two, and I had this little rabbit that was chasing toilets around. So for me, I found that funny. But like, you can pretty much find humor in anything. So whether you go to the pharmacy to get a fill a prescription, there's something funny if you just look, like open your eyes and look around. So I said, just start being aware of it. And the other thing is, as you're starting to be aware of it, write it down, because as you're writing it down, that's where more stuff happens. Because you're like, oh, and then I forgot this. But as you're creating that awareness, more and more things become obvious to you, and you start taking more notice. Like, kind of like if you say you bought a new car and you think that you have the only new car on the road and your car is red, and then all of a sudden you see all these red cars around. Kind of the same thing. There's a name for that, but I can't remember what it is right now. Like a name for that principle.
Well, thank you for that. Now I have this vision in my head of me, Alice in Wonderland, chasing around toilets. So yeah, thank you. And I guarantee you, I'm going to learn something through that curiosity of that. I'm sure and certain. So thanks for providing that image for everyone today.
So Amy's just like, what is she talking about now?
You know, I find this interesting because we don't like to talk about these conversations sometimes, and I find it really nice how we can bring these into our conversations here of empowering hope and opportunity to allow people to see that these are okay conversations for us to be having, because they do empower us and they do bring us together as a collaborative and make us be able to work together and understand each other and be a more tolerable world. So I appreciate that a lot. This is like a huge question for me, and it is so important that I wake up every single morning so grateful to be here. Having lived in a wheelchair, needing a caregiver all the time, I did not wake up every day in a good space, and I was so sick. But I have the opportunity now to wake up every day to be grateful that I have this life, that I have this moment, that I can sit here right now and be with all of you and communicate and share stories that can hopefully bring you to a better place in your health and understanding that your health is your number one asset. If I had had all the information that I have now, back when I first developed chronic regional pain syndrome, I can promise you I would have lived a very different life. I would have had a very different life with very different choices than what I have now. Can I tell you what that would actually be? No, because we can't reverse it. But I can sit here right now and tell you that I lived in a pain of 10 for over 2.5 decades. And I can tell you now, my pain does not even cross my mind. And that's something I've been afraid to share with anyone, because it is hard to let that go, because I'm so afraid that I'll lose it, that it's not real, that it's not lasting. It's going to happen. It's going to come again. And yes, if I bang my leg or hit it, it hurts like, you know what? But the bottom line is it doesn't consume me. It doesn't control me every day. So I wake up to live today. Today is all I have, and that's what I want to experience. So I ask everyone to look at today as your host of what life is, because today is what you have. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not be here. Grab and hold on to all those people that you love. Put your health as your number one asset, because no one lives your life or your health but you, and no one can guide it as well as you can, because you know your body and yourself better than anyone else. You have over 50,000 thoughts a day. Take the time to evaluate which thoughts are of importance to you and which ones you should discard. You have that ability to do that. Understanding the power that you have by being engaged with your body is going to be the most powerful tool and the best asset to make sure that you are living your absolute best life. Does that mean that I'm going to be living, traveling around the world and doing all the things that other people do? No. Set your expectations based on where your health quality is and what you are capable of doing. And learn to live within that and be happy and content. Because I promise you, when you live in the moment, life is a much brighter, happier, and fun place to be. Well, we thank you very much for turning in to Echo This and listening to this conversation and allowing us this time to share with you our journey. And hopefully we encourage you to go see that your health is your number one asset and yet you move it up the list and so that you can live your very best life. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach us at Echo Together, Echo, the number 2, GETHER, at gmail.com, or you'll find us on social media and LinkedIn, at IG and LinkedIn. And we love to hear your feedback. We like to know what you think about these segments as we put them together. I promise you, this will not be our last health story or conversation that we have. There are going to be more of these as we come through this, because I think understanding your health is your most powerful asset to living your best life is so important. So until next time, keep echoing, and we look forward to hearing from you. Have a great day.